You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
WMDX 92.6.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
Do you know what this
means? Wouldn't you like to know, weather boy?
You're pretty high and far out, aren't you? What kind of kicker you want?
I am high and
far. Good bastard. Your show sucks.
What made me think this was a good day to stop drinking?
Buddy, do you want coffee?
I do.
Coffee.
Black coffee.
Coffee.
They warned us about people like you.
What a load of crap.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
We'll do it live.
And that's the way it is.
On 92.7 FM, WMDX. Okay. Take it away, boys.
Now it's our turn to talk.
Okay, now I can start talking.
Yeah.
You know, it just pick up momentum and I just can't stop, you know?
I know it. It's John and Gordy in the morning. He's John Peterson. I'm Gordy Young.
Yes.
Producer Sam is in the hot box taking your calls, dealing with the dials and switches and buttons. And this portion of John and Gordy in the Morning is brought to you by our friends at Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. Right now, the Verlo Mismatch sale is back. It's the biggest sale of the year. Mismatch on the outside, same Verlo long-lasting craftsmanship on the inside. Hurry in now, save an additional 10% off of every mattress and box spring. Wake up and sleep better. Verlo of Madison. Go to their website, verlo.com.
All right. Sounds great.
All right. And now it's time for us to check in with Savannah Tomei Olson. Good morning, Savannah.
Good morning. How's it going?
It's going good. It's going wet out there this morning.
It really is. And, you know, the big mystery for me is, you know, the bus crash into a restaurant. You know, it's...
this happened about a week ago?
It wasn't takeout. Yeah.
It was last Tuesday night, and they were over on Stoughton Road on, like, the northeast side.
Mm-hmm.
And they ran into that Asian House restaurant. Two people were hurt, and one of them had to go to the hospital. Mm. So what... I mean, you see these pictures. That was nothing you could refer to as a minor crash, right?
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
And we, at the time, the police had said that a passenger attacked the driver and the driver lost control. And that's what caused that whole crash. Mm-hmm. But the passenger had run off.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out they found that passenger. All Metro buses have cameras, just FYI, for anybody who didn't know that before. So it turns out this 26-year-old woman was upset that the bus wasn't going where she thought it was going. And
well,
first time she took a bus, doesn't exactly drop you off where you want to go.
Yeah. You know, she could have said, well, where should I go? Yeah. And, you know, how can I get transferred? Yeah. But she took it into her own hands. Yeah.
Yeah. So now she's charged with disorderly conduct, battery to a public transit officer, and recklessly endangering safety. Those are not small charges,
no.
I would say.
And I think they're going to keep the bus there and put seating in there.
No.
like old train cars.
No, they're not doing. And the restaurant was closed at the time, thankfully, so nobody was hurt.
Yeah, thank goodness, right? Yeah, there was nobody sitting inside, so the people who were hurt were the people on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now,
I guess
the state now is taking a look at the Medicaid cuts or possible cuts and what that might mean to the state, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So that's what I spent a lot of my time on yesterday throughout the day, because when we're talking about such a big federal and state program, so that means half the data is at the state level and the other half is at the federal level. So basically, when the House passed this big spending bill, they want the Office of Energy and Commerce to reduce their budget by $880 billion over the next 9 years. Mm-hmm. And they say it won't impact Medicaid. That's the official party line that we're getting. However, experts say that that will not be possible without touching Medicaid. So I was looking into just how many people in Wisconsin rely on Medicaid, and it provides coverage for 18% of people here in Wisconsin. That's 1.2 million of us, That's one in three kids and four in seven nursing home residents statewide. Wow. Which is a huge number, yeah, especially when you talk about people in nursing homes, which is an industry that's struggling already across Wisconsin. So that Medicaid reimbursement money that they get is vital to their operations.
Well, it is, and a lot of those nursing homes rely on that, or at least the guarantee of it, in order to allow people to, you know, move into their nursing homes. So
that
could stop a lot of people from moving, and that's devastating to the families that need to have some place to put their relatives.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. When that process is already hard enough, you think about there's the practical part of going through that, and then there's the emotional heaviness and weight of all of it and how hard that can be for people.
That's right.
So the Office of Civil Rights here in Madison is hosting a big meeting tonight. They're calling it What We Could Lose. And the goal is basically to just tell people what's on the table and what could happen if these cuts really go through. It'll be both in person and virtual, so people can attend, have it on in the background from home if that works for you. Yeah. Access to Independence will be speaking, because a lot of disabled people rely on Medicaid more than the general population. And the goal is to basically just tell people what's on the line and what they could have to be prepared for, or where they could need to ask for more help or lobby their lawmakers.
And where's that meeting taking place? Is it City Council
meeting? It's the Madison Municipal Building.
Okay.
At 6:00.
Very good.
All right.
All right, Savannah, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Have a good day.
Have a great day, guys.
All right, you too.
All right.
Appreciate it. Boy, I love those in-depth looks.
Absolutely.
All these issues.
That's
She's great at that.
WMDX News, Savannah Tomei Olson.
Okay. Absolutely.
12 minutes past the hour. Rain this morning, maybe changing to snow this afternoon, dropping temperatures through the day. Take your umbrella with you.
Okay.
Check your windshield wipers. Do it all.
Change those windshield wipers.
Hunker down.
Now, I live in Costco, so
yes,
they do have windshield wipers in there for almost every model.
You get a fee or something? You have to get a commission for things that you sell?
Like commercial, didn't it?
It did.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we got a text from Jim, who just made it over there, and apparently Costco had no eggs on Monday.
Well, thank you for that report, Jim. Let us know what else they don't have.
I bought them on Saturday, so you can blame me, Jim, if you want. And Steve in Mount Horeb texted us, Trump himself is on the way to World War III. Mm. He is the one causing instability throughout the world. Like I said before, the people who voted for him better be on the front lines. I'm with you on that, Steve.
You can call us. You can text us, 608-879-8255. Get the Civic Media app downloaded. It's free. You can hit the text button or the call button on that, too.
That's right.
All right.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, Trump is against illegal protests. What that means, you know, there should be a reporter out there that could ask, what do you mean by illegal?
Mm.
And, you know, isn't it a First Amendment right to protest your government?
Peaceful protest.
To associate with the groups you want to associate with, like Antifa, if you wanted to, right? You can.
Mm-hmm.
You can wear masks. You can do whatever it is that you want to do, but he doesn't like any of that. Trump threatened college federal funding for allowing illegal protests and said American students will be expelled. Little heavy-handed. Now, what if this had happened in the 60s when we protested the wars? What if they thought of this back then? Wouldn't that be insane?
Yes.
I mean, it would have been worse.
It would have been absolutely worse.
Yeah, they called out the military,
National Guard at Kent State.
Started shooting at people and killing them.
Four students died, yes.
The big word now for this administration is agitator. Now, Scott Walker used to talk about it all the time. Oh, they bust in agitators to be a part of the Act 10 protest. Well, agitator is coming back. Agitators will be imprisoned. In other words, agitators, meaning protesters, will be imprisoned, permanently sent back to their country if they're immigrants as well. American students will be permanently expelled or, depending on the crime of protesting, arrested. And no masks. Thank you for your attention to this matter, he said. So I don't know why he followed it up with that stupid comment, but he did. Okay. He did. And so I want to bring up at this point.
Yes.
Our favorite representative, okay. Derek Van Orden.
Okay? Oh, Derek. What's he been up to lately?
Because this follows in the footsteps of what Trump just said. Derek Van Orden compared constituents pushing back at these town halls as Nazis. All right. So he's not happy about people protesting. And again, it's those agitators. Let's listen to cut 51 here. This is Derek Van Orden.
Well, it's not just Glenn. They're over disrupting Fitz's meetings, and they did a whole bunch of Republicans around the country. And I just, people have to understand, you know, I'm a little history buff.
No, you aren't.
All people associated with the communist movement and the National Socialism movement used to get their way politically is they would do stuff like this.
Protests?
They were called agitators.
Oh, wait.
So this is a time-tested, proven method for very far left and very far right groups to get their way. And when I say very far right, I mean actual National Socialists.
Oh, thank
you. So here's what I told everybody. We've been getting harassing calls. I just got more death threats last week, personally.
You, of course, all
if anybody's coming to any of these meetings that we have and they act in an unlawful manner by harassing people, or if they're being disruptive, refusing to leave a venue, we will have them arrested and charged with a Class B misdemeanor.
Oh, well, good luck with that.
I'm not going to put up with these agitators.
Oh, you aren't.
Throwing disrespect and acting in an unlawful manner to their fellow Wisconsinites or my staff, period.
F-A-F-O.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we're not doing it. Republicans are too nice.
Well, thanks for being nice about it.
Thanks for reminding us.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's truly a threat of arrest for anybody protesting.
They're trying to ramp it up here.
They are. Yep. And what this means is that they're so used to not having any accountability for their policies or things that they say that when people do protest, they're surprised and shocked, and they're threatening their protesters with jail time, arresting them, giving them a criminal record, just for protesting your government, dumbasses like Derek Van Orden. This guy is, I don't know why he got reelected. I don't understand what happened. We knew that this guy is a shape-shifting, masculine, toxic masculine idiot.
What do you really mean?
I will stop
now. Okay. It's 7:18. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Mike McCabe will join us talking about red, white, and blue. Stay with us on John and Gordy in the Morning.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
WMDX. Okay. 92.7. It's John and Gordy in the Morning, clearing our throats, I guess. Nice rainy morning as well. Rain continuing.
21 past the hour. Let's check in with Brittany Merlot, our WMDX weather person. Good morning, Brittany.
Good morning. How are you?
We're good.
We've got nothing but rain. It rained overnight. I didn't hear any thunderstorms.
No.
They were talking about the possibility of that, but now maybe snow on the way. Do you already have snow? Is that what you've got?
Yes. Yeah? So, yeah, we were looking at rain all throughout the night, too, and now we've got some snow. It's starting to move in towards Stevens Point, the Fox Valley area, and it's headed your way, too. So, hang on.
I was trying to hold up the weather radar. apparently
I love it.
Being up on the camera.
I think
all.
Brittany has access to the weather radar in her office there. So
it's everywhere. I know. But yeah. So what we're really looking at for you in Madison, though, is this light rain, this patchy fog, and it's going to start to switch over to a mix probably around 10 or 11 o'clock this morning. Okay. And then it'll be all snow by 1 o'clock. Now, we're not looking at anything heavy still. I'm still looking at around 1 inch or so. And temperatures crashing, though. We're already the warmest it's going to be right now. We're going to fall to about 30 degrees by 5 o'clock. Plus, we've got a wind advisory starting at 11. And that goes until 9 o'clock tonight, where winds are going to be gusting up to 40 to 50 miles per hour.
What?
It's already happening up north. Oh, yep. Man. This system is a beast. The pressure is just insane. So we're going to see these crazy winds, light snow, and then everything should wind down by 9 o'clock. The snow will stop, the winds will stop, and then the sun will be out tomorrow, and we'll be back in the low 40s.
Oh, okay. So pretty quick moving, but it's going to pack a punch while it's moving there. Boy, 40 to 50 mile an hour winds this afternoon and tonight?
Yep.
That's crazy.
Yep. Now, and then if you think about it, we've got this rain that's falling, and it's going to kind of flash freeze as our temperatures fall below 32. And then we've got some snow on top of that, and it's going to be that heavy, wet, slushy type. Then you throw some 40 to 50 mile per hour winds in the mix. Definitely power outages. We're seeing some of those up north already.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I read where Texas has like 500,000 people without power, right?
Their power grid must be terrible. Weak. It goes down all the time now.
It's their own power grid. Yeah.
It needs to be underground.
It yes. really does.
Jeez.
Okay. And looking ahead to the weekend, how are things shaping up for that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Friday we might see a little bit of light snow swipe early in the morning. We've got this system down to the south that is kind of going up and down, so we might see a little bit of that. But otherwise, it's just sunny, gorgeous. I mean, low 40s on Saturday and then the upper 40s on Sunday. So okay. Dry and beautiful and mild this weekend.
I cheated a little bit. I looked ahead, during next week. And next week, it's going to be gorgeous. It's going to be beautiful. It's like actual spring. Right? Mm-hmm. And we set our clocks ahead this weekend. So, yeah, it's going to be springtime in America.
Fabulous.
You can quote me on that.
Okay. How poetic. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Brittany, thank you so much. Have a great day. Always great
you
to
too.
Talk to you. Talk to you tomorrow morning.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
WMDX meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
All right, we're talking about Derek Van Orden. You know, he doesn't like protesters. He wants to arrest them. Mm-hmm. Again, he doesn't want to be accountable for anything that the Republicans, the MAGAs, are doing.
He doesn't want those protesters to stir it up.
Yeah.
Agitators.
Yeah. Mm. And another MAGA Republican, Dan Muser, says he was at a recent meeting, and he's going to keep going to those meetings, even though the National Republican Party wants them to kind of hold off on that. You know, it's bad video. But anyway, here's Muser and what he had to say about the whole thing.
Are you going to stop holding in-person town halls?
No, and you know what, I was in the meeting, that's really not what he said. He just said, be careful to manage it. We don't want our town halls being taken hostage and run by those who come in from other parts of the district or other parts of the state and just turn it into a scene of havoc and a problem as opposed to something that's positive. So, but anyway, look,
you've not heard from any constituents who are upset about Doge?
I have many constituents that have questions about Doge, probably some that ask questions that they're opposed to it, but you know what? More that are for it.
Yeah, okay. Very, very strange. Very strange comment, but, you know, he's not getting the kind of comments that he thinks he's getting. And Doge is getting a lot of pushback at this point because people are realizing that this guy is all smoke and mirrors. Mm-hmm. He's really not upfront with anybody. He released more information. His wall of receipts is not proving to be true again. It's not a good sign. All right.
No, it's not. And We're checking some texts here. You can call us or text us.
Yeah, Doug got has one, from one Doug? Five takeaways from a Trump speech. Elon Musk, Doge is terrible at math. All current problems were caused by Biden. Okay. But he blamed the high price of eggs on Biden.
Okay.
I find that absolutely fascinating, since it's the bird flu, and Biden hasn't been around for, like, you know, what, 44 days or so, and the price keeps going up and up, and they haven't done anything about the bird flu at all, nothing. The tariffs will stop once hardworking Americans run out of money. Unelected bureaucrats, except for Elon Musk, the one that stands out most to everybody, will not be allowed to govern. Mm-hmm. And Iron is dead.
That's all.
Thank
from
you,
Doug of St. Francis.
Yeah. Well said.
You can call us or text us, 608-879-8255. It's 879-TALK. Okay. All right. This portion of John and Gordy in the Morning is brought to you by David J. Frank. They are celebrating their 65th anniversary. They do commercial landscape management and also residential. They do it all. They also are experts in sustainability. That makes them the go-to company for green roofs and water conservation and reclamation projects, too. Mm-hmm. DavidJFrank.com. They have three offices, Madison, Milwaukee, and Kenosha. Once again, DavidJFrank.com.
They would freak out if they saw my lawn.
They would,
would they? Just freak out. Yeah.
Do you need some help?
Oh, boy, do I.
I believe we will have Amy from David J. Frank in next week. Is that correct, Sam? Next Monday?
All right. From Substack. Okay.
Yes.
We've got Mike McCabe stopping by talking about the green side of the blue side of the country, the red side of the country.
Red, white, and blue.
And yep. What you can do for the white side of the country.
Okay, next, it's the Midwest Farm Report, and then we're back with John and Gordy in the Morning on WMDX.
Let the sun shine. It's the John and Gordy Show.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Ed's Old West Exterminators, the only exterminators in town who kill your roaches after giving them guns and allowing the roaches to draw first.
It's a rainy day in Madison, 40 degrees currently, and the rain will change to snow a little bit later on. It is 7:34. We welcome in Mike McCabe. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
So you did not watch the presidential address last night.
That's why I'm in a good mood. I thought to myself, would it help?
Yeah.
And I thought, I know what he's doing.
Yeah.
I know what he's saying. And so would it help?
Yeah.
And I decided, you know what? I'm not going to put myself through that.
Well, there are a lot of visuals instead of messaging. You know what he's going to say, right?
Yeah.
And again, I'm waiting for the time he brings up the boat, the battery, and the shark.
It did not come
up. I guess it did not come up.
He didn't bring that up last time.
So I'm just waiting for that story to rear its ugly head again. But there were some things about last night to just kind of draw a little bit of attention to. You know, during these speeches, just like when Governor Evers gave the State of the State speech, one side continues to sit. They don't react at all. And the governor ignored that. Biden ignored Republicans who just sat on their hands also during his State of the Union speeches. Well, last night, Trump went after the Democrats who were sitting.
Of course he did.
And holding up signs. They actually held up, and they were like, you know, very basic signs. A lie is on one side of it, and the other one has something to say about Elon.
Right.
But the one incident that did take place, and they were wondering about, what are the Democrats going to do to protest this? Are they going to bring in sounds, you know, I don't know, you know, like megaphones and disrupt the speech somehow? And one guy did. One representative,
Al Green,
and that's Al Green from Texas, stood up and he was saying something. I don't know what he was saying. I never understand what crowd chants.
Well, you couldn't
saying.
Really hear it. Actually.
Yeah, but anyway, he was doing that, warned, doing that, warned, and then they bounced him out of the floor.
Yeah.
They took him off the floor.
Yeah.
So visually, it's not a good look. You're taking a black representative out of the speech, and it's just a horrible thing that could have happened. They let happen, and they were not ashamed of letting it happen. And while they were taking him out, the Republicans, all of them, were chanting, just like at a rally, USA, USA. It was repugnant. It was outrageous. And that's what happened. That's what you missed. All right. And it's all visual.
I actually saw the picture of him waving a cane.
Yeah. Yes, he has a cane.
I did see that much. You can't escape the news about this entirely if you are conscious.
True.
Now, your recent Substack, Stars and Stripes, you go by the colors of the flag in this. Could you please describe that, if you can?
Well, I wrote this article for really two reasons. First of all, it speaks to the division in our country. And the conscious dividing and conquering of our country by those in power. Our nation's colors are red, white, and blue. And yet we have red America and blue America. Mm-hmm. We have red states and blue states. We are assigned a color. We're told you're on the red side. You wear the red cap. And we've seen all those red caps out there. Or you're on the blue side. And that's really a way that those in power keep us at each other's throats and have very successfully divided and conquered us so that they can do as they wish, so that they can loot the public treasure for their own benefit. They can enrich themselves. They can exert control over our lives in countless ways because they keep us always divided. They keep us always red or blue.
When did this division start? Was it Reagan?
It's interesting.
Was it Rush Limbaugh?
It's interesting, Gordy. When I was young, of course, I'm dating myself here, but I'm old enough where the first half of my childhood, we didn't have color television. Everything was black and white.
That's right.
The first several times I watched The Wizard of Oz, which was this movie that started out in black and white and then all of a sudden goes color and was like this revolutionary thing. The whole thing was black and white to me.
Yes.
For the first several times I watched it.
Right.
And of course, on the news, there were no red states or blue states because it was black and white anyway. It was just shades of gray, man.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I don't recall that even in the Reagan era, people were consciously talking about red America and blue America. Mm-hmm. It's a really, in the grand scheme of our history, it's recent. A really recent phenomenon. Mm. And now it's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's you're red or you're blue.
Well,
and you ain't got a choice, but one of those two. You fit into one of those camps.
There was a blue and gray, as you might remember, during the Civil War.
Right.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, of course. But then
uniforms.
But then that ended up sort of melting away.
Yes.
After the Civil War, and here we got these colors: red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
And yet, we're told you got to be on the red side or the blue side, and the flag doesn't have any. It doesn't speak to. The flag doesn't speak to sides.
Mm-hmm.
It's just got all the colors intermingled. And of course, what I said is, hey, maybe people ought to start wearing white caps. And just as a signal of protest, just as a way of saying, there are three colors on that flag, and there's one that's unclaimed. There's one that nobody identifies with. We don't identify with that color on the flag because you have to be forced into one of the boxes, blue or red. And it's such a magnificently powerful tool for those who are part of the ruling regime to create a red and blue America and keep us forever at each other's throats.
Now, during our break here, we were talking about this a little bit, and you were talking about symbolism.
Yeah.
And this is part of the symbolic look of the party, the red hats.
Yeah.
They made that a trademark.
Yeah.
The
sure
Democrats,
did.
As you mentioned, don't have that trademark. They don't have some kind of symbolism in order to bring.
But even more importantly, the American people. Who many of whom are deeply disillusioned with both parties. Maybe they hate one more than the other, but they're deeply disillusioned with both. They don't have a symbol that is a unifying emblem of their discontent.
All right.
And You know, and that's the more important thing. It's not what the Democrats choose as a symbol. It's what the American people choose as a symbol. And, you know, the opponents of the ruling regime are people who are very studious people. They are, and they're down in the weeds a lot, and they wallow in policy detail. Mm-hmm. And I think they've overlooked the power and importance of symbolism. And I think they've overlooked the fact that politics is way more emotional than it is intellectual. And when you look back through human history, not American history, but human history, there are all these powerful examples of really simple symbols uniting people, sometimes to dramatic effect. Look at Gandhi in India, under British rule. Mm-hmm. He chooses, he's a lawyer, a British-trained lawyer. Mm-hmm. He chooses to no longer wear the clothing that comes from the cloth produced in England, the suits that a lawyer would wear. He decides to spin his own cloth. Wow. The spinning wheel becomes a powerful symbol, as did Gandhi's attire, yep, of the Indian independence movement. It united the Indian people around that symbol. The spinning wheel, for crying out loud, became a powerful weapon that brought the British to their knees and freed India from British colonialism. That was not about policy detail. That was about a simple symbol of defiance that Gandhi used brilliantly to unite the Indian people against their British oppressors. More recently, you had the Yellow Vest movement in France, where working people donned yellow vests to say, we've had it, and it started spreading throughout Europe, the Yellow Vest movement. And here we've got this flag with red, white, and blue on it, and we're told you either got to be the one of the red stripes, or you got to be the blue backdrop to the white stars. You got to be one of those two. You have to be. Mm-hmm. And for crying out loud, our own national symbol, the flag, has been turned into a tool of division.
Yeah.
And it just strikes me that there's an unclaimed color there that maybe could be a symbol of both the discontent that people are feeling, but also their defiance of the current rule that is leaving them feeling so powerless.
We're talking to Mike McCabe, Substack author. I'm getting the feeling that maybe it all comes down to swag.
the merch.
Yeah.
That's what it's all
the
about.
The merch. Huh?
What about Tony Evers calling Wisconsin a purple state? I mean, that didn't really go anywhere. Is it a purple state? I mean, are we truly that divided?
Well, you know, you do hear that about certain states, and there are only a handful of states that can go one way or the other in a presidential election that could go Republican or could go Democratic. But even think about that. That's still also buying into the red-blue division.
Yeah.
Because, there's a few states, like Wisconsin and maybe a half a dozen others, that can go either way. So let's call them purple.
Mm-hmm.
But my goodness, that's like giving up on most of the states in the country and saying, well, there's red states and there's blue states. And then there's this pitiful number, a small number of states and let's just call them purple because it's a blend of red and blue.
Mm-hmm.
But my goodness, even that is sort of a pathetic example of how brainwashed we've become about this whole red-blue division in our society. Mm-hmm. And that serves those in power so well because they can keep working-class people, common, ordinary people who are living their lives trying to make their way in this world, and it keeps them seeing others as enemies rather than people who have things in common with them and are dealing with common struggles. It enables the billionaires to become ever richer. It makes the powerful all the more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And my goodness.
Mike, what do you think about the Democratic Party right now, sort of this internal struggle going on between those that say, well, we got to fight their fire hose, like Chris Murphy is saying, senator from Connecticut, we got to fight their fire hose with our fire hose 24-7. We just got to come back all the time, versus the Democrats that are saying, hold on, let's wait in the weeds here a little bit. This whole the Republicans are going to they're gonna collapse of their own weight here. Yeah. You know, it's all going to sit back and wait.
I saw a New York Times piece by James Carville, the longtime Democratic operative.
Yeah.
And the headline caught my attention. It said the Democrats have to risk a brave maneuver. So I said, all right, I'm game. I'll look at what he has to say. And what the brave maneuver that he said was that the Democrats have to have the courage to roll over and play dead.
Really?
New York Times piece.
Help us all.
Roll over and play dead. Yeah. And just let the Republican policies eventually have their impact and people will come to their senses. And I thought, oh, for crying out loud. Now, exactly how does roll over and play dead, how is that different than what the Democrats have been doing for the last 40 or 50 years?
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. You know, exactly. How very different is that strategy? Exactly. And so, you know, but I guess I'm less concerned about what Democrats choose to do because they haven't been united in the least. They haven't been courageous. They haven't been bold.
Ain't that the truth?
For a good long time. Yeah. It's been 40 or 50 years since you really saw bold Democratic leadership. And I think that's what leaves so many people feeling despondent.
Yeah.
Who they hate what they see with the ruling regime, but they're feeling less than confident about a dramatic alternative. And that's what I'm concerned about is will the American people unite around something that can be unifying and empowering?
All right.
We will continue with Mike McCabe on John and Gordy in the Morning right here on WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Looks like we got to walk.
Walk, don't run.
WMDX. This is the John and Gordy Morning Show.
And this portion of our show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better, dream bigger on handcrafted Verlo Mattress. Right now, the mismatch sale is on. It's the biggest sale of the year at Verlo of Madison. Mismatch on the outside, same long-lasting craftsmanship on the inside. Hurry in now, save an additional 10% off of every mattress and box spring. Wake up and sleep better. Verlo of Madison. Just go to verlo.com for more information. John?
Well, you know, we're talking about what the Democrats might be able to do.
Back with Mike McCabe here.
And you brought up the idea of symbolism. And I'm thinking, you know, because, you know, the red hat became a huge symbol for the MAGAs at this point. But the Democrats don't have anything that we can point to or wear or be identified with. And I'm wondering if, and this is just a suggestion, again, I would make this to Ben Wickler if I could. We'll have him in on the show one of these days. But wouldn't it be great to kind of slip in an idea for symbolism?
Yeah.
But just wear the symbolism. Don't tell anybody. And then create this mystique around the symbolism. And then people start noticing the symbolism. And it becomes a symbol automatically because it was sprung on people in an unexpected way. Instead of telling you, well, this is what we should wear. Then we just kind of slip it in there. And then the news media kind of picks up on it and it kind of takes off. What do you think? Isn't that a great idea?
What are you talking about?
I do think that a lot of these things are organic and they're spontaneous.
Yes.
And they catch on because they have symbolic power and people relate to it. And I think, you know, the opponents of today's ruling regime don't often think that simply. They're you know, immersed in policy detail. They're down in the weeds, and they have a hard time seeing the forest for the trees. And but when a symbol emerges, a powerful symbol emerges, it often is organic and very almost accidental. But you know, I mentioned Gandhi before the break. Now that was a very conscious decision on his part to change his attire and to spin his own cloth and to use the spinning wheel as a very powerful symbol of Indian independence from Great Britain. So sometimes it can be conscious and planned. Sometimes it's very organic and spontaneous. But the symbol is one that just speaks powerfully to people. And, you know, white hats, by the way, think about what white hats have meant traditionally in Americans.
Cooler heads.
It means the good guys.
Yes.
Mm. The good guys wear the white hats. Right?
Right.
I'm just jumping in here.
Yeah.
Thank you. I just have to ask, Mike, will you design this hat? Because I want to have a John and Gordy white hat. I'm already seeing it with a star.
That's it.
It's white with a white star. I mean, it's just just simple John and Gordy in the back.
That's All right.
Thank you for that merchandising suggestion. Yes. Okay. We'll workshop that.
Whether it's the white star on a white hat or the American flag, but in white.
Yeah. Mm.
With no red and blue.
Wow. There you go.
Just a white flag.
See, and this is what happens.
But the thing, you know, and what I'm trying to do here is just get people to think about how much politics is emotional and not just intellectual, and the power of symbols in politics, and trying to encourage people to think outside the box rather than just accept this dismal reality that you have to be either red or blue. Nope. Mm-hmm. And that's the only choice you got. You're either on the blue side or you're on the red side. And if you're on the red side, you have all these assumptions about those who are on the blue side. Mm. You know who they are. You know what they think. You know how they act. And you no longer treat them as human beings who are complicated and who may have a great deal in common with you. And then if you're on the blue side, you similarly have all these preconceived notions about what the red side is all about, how they live, what they do, how they think, how they act. And again, you leave no room for understanding that they're also a neighbor and they're complicated and they've got struggles just like you do. And we've got to figure out a way how to act out of defiance in that sort of categorization.
Absolutely. I'm liking the white flag. That's surrender.
No. It would have stars and stripes on it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
It just wouldn't be red.
No colors. I think that's a great.
It would
great
be
idea.
The American flag with the same number of stripes and with the and you know, you can embroider this kind of thing so that one of the stripes stands out from the others. But what it says is we ain't gonna accept your division of us. We're not gonna accept that you have put us in these red camps and blue camps so that you can keep us at each other's throats. And you can control us, because that's what all this is about, is control, economic control, social and political control of the masses. And that's what we have to declare independence from.
Yeah.
We're just about out of time here. Mike McCabe, you have any book signings coming up for Miracles Along County Q?
I've actually been asked to go to Evansville, which is where I spent the early part of my childhood for National Library Week in early April.
Wow. Okay.
So that's the one that's kind of nearby, but the Evansville Public Library wanted to have me come because Evansville was part of the inspiration. There are parts of the story in Miracles Along County Q that come from my very early childhood outside Evansville.
It's a great book. Check it out. You can find it wherever they sell books, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It's Mike McCabe.
And I'm asking all 8 listeners to remember that we came up with the idea first here on this show.
That's
white flag.
Tim Slecker will be our guest tomorrow. I'll be talking about Linda McMahon, now approved as the Department of Education head.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
And Stephanie Miller is coming up next. That's going to do it for John and Gordy. We hope you have a great day. Keep that umbrella handy.
Absolutely.
Time for the snow this afternoon.
Yep.
So long.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.